I'm pulling out of the parking lot of Wizards. You know what that means. You might not know what that means. I don't do this that often. But it is time for drive from work. So this morning, or for you guys, last podcast, I had Mark Permis on. So I say hi, Mark.
Hello, everybody.
So I had to drive Mark home since I had to drive him here. So we figured let's get another podcast in because we can talk more about Unstable. We're very excited about Unstable.
I like talking about Unstable.
I do. I love talking about Unstable. So
part of my job, actually, one of the things I have to do is go around and talk to the distributors that sell our product to stores and talk to them about new products when they come out. And I've had so much trouble keeping myself to my time limit whenever I have an opportunity to talk about Unstable. It's been a lot of fun.
So what do you show? What's like the pictures you show when you're showing off Unstable?
Well, we talk about all the reasons why we think it's going to be something that fans are really excited about. So we talk about the crossover cards like Sword of Dungeons and Dragons. It's a really exciting card that it's probably my favorite mythic in the set for a variety of reasons.
Oh, can we tell the story? Can I tell okay, let's tell this is an awesome story.
About Chris?
Yeah, okay. So Chris Cox is our CEO, okay? And so one day he says that he wants to play Unstable, but it's really late. It's late in the process. Unstable is basically all done.
And of course, you know, we've had some stops and starts with Unstable, as we've talked about on previous podcasts. And so Mark and I were kind of worried. You know, we have this new president. He's a gamer, and he gets Magic, but what if he hates Unstable for some reason? We haven't announced it yet.
So Mark says to me, he says, okay, here's the important thing. So we're going to play with him. So I was going to play with Chris. He goes, let Chris win. Whatever you do, let Chris win.
And so it wasn't just Chris. It was some of the other people on the business team.
Yeah.
I was, you know, three games over, and I could just barely hear Mark play Sword of Dungeons and Dragons.
So let's see what's going on here. Yeah. So we make the decks, and we specifically make the decks because we're trying to make it something we think Chris will like. And we know that Chris, from his youth, was a giant D&D fan, big Dungeons and Dragons fan. And so we specifically put in the deck Sword of Dungeons and Dragons so that it will come up and he can see it because he likes Dungeons and Dragons. We didn't know what deck he picked, by the way. We just made the decks. So he ends up picking a different deck, and so I pick up the deck that happens to have Sword of Dungeons and Dragons in it. So I get it in my opening hand. I'm like, oh, I want Chris to see this because it's Dungeons and Dragons. But the problem is, which Mark's laughing at, it's a really, really powerful card.
Really good card. And so I hear Mark say, I play Sword of Dungeons and Dragons. And Ben Hayes, who was the lead developer on the set, was walking around and kind of checking on everybody's games. And I was playing against one of the other brand managers, and I pulled Ben over and I said, Ben, did Mark just play Sword of Dungeons and Dragons? He's supposed to let Chris win. We talked about this.
And right, so
Ben wanders off, and he goes and he watches the game with Mark and Chris, and he wanders back, and kind of under his breath, he goes, he's not equipping it to a creature. And I was like, okay.
Right, so what happened was, I play the card, and then I realize after I play, I'm like, I have Sword of Dungeons & Dragons. So I'm doing other things. I'm like, I just forgot about it. I forgot that I have Sword of Dungeons & Dragons.
Unfortunately, Chris... Right. Knows Magic and is a gamer and is a really sharp guy. So at a certain point...
Well, at a certain point, I empty my hand. So there's a point at which I have no cards in my hand. I have mana. He goes, why don't you equip the Sword of Dungeons & Dragons? I'm like, yeah, why don't I do that? So the only creature I have has double strike. So every time you hit someone with Sword of Dungeons & Dragons, it makes a 4/4 dragon. So I have to equip it to my double strike creature because it's the only creature I have. And he doesn't have a creature that can block me. So I hit him and make 2 4/4 dragons.
But luckily, Chris also has a great sense of humor and ended up loving the set, even though I think he lost that.
He lost that game. He won the second game. But it was funny that, like, I remember I hit him, I made 2 dragons, and I'm like, is there any way I can lose this game? So, anyway. Okay, sorry. So, we showed Dungeons & Dragons.
We talk about the fact that they're silver-bordered cards because we want people to have realistic expectations. I've said I feel like the silver-bordered sets have sort of a cult following among Magic fans. There's certainly a lot of people that really love the silver-bordered cards, but if your focus is competitive play and your main way of engaging with our brand is, like, training for the next GP, there's not going to be as much, you know, you're going to play this a couple of times and have a good time.
Right.
But it's not necessarily going to be as broadly appealing as a black-bordered set or as a master set.
Right. The thing we designed for Unstable was we wanted to, A, make it a limited experience. That if you just want to experience it, it's a one-time thing. You can just do that. You can come, you can play, you're done, you've had your experience. Or for people who get into the unconstructed stuff, like, you can take it in, you can put it in your cube or your commander deck or just make decks around it if you have friends that'll play with you.
And I did, speaking of commander, I did actually confirm with our resident Commander Rules Committee member that they are, you know, their position is that if your playgroup wants to allow silver-bordered cards, by all means, you know, have as much fun with silver-bordered cards in your commander deck as you'd like. But as far as anything official, they're still kind of deliberating on how to handle silver-bordered cards.
That we did, one of the things we did do was we purposely put a lot of legends in the set so that if you wanted to make an uncommander deck, you can. In fact, it's funny, we're still previewing stuff. As far as you guys, because it's, you guys are listening to this in the future, as far as we're concerned, you know, Unstable's out and everything, but for us, we're still previewing it. So it is, it's fun. Like, today, it was Agent of Sneak Day, so we were showing off X and Phoebe, head of Sneak, and Animate Library, and some fun stuff.
Man, I love Animate Library. I love cards like that, that just force you to think about zones or parts of the game in a way that you just never would think of.
Yeah, Animate Library, by the way, I tried to actually put that in a real Magic set, and it didn't work. So then I tried a version where, like, it's star, where star is equal to a number of cards in your deck. But it proved a little too, just keeping track of it was a little hard. What happened was, it wasn't in this, we were in development, and somebody said something and reminded me of the existence of that card, and I'm like, oh, we have to put this in, So I made Dave take out a card. I go, take this card out, put this card in. And I think Animate Library is one of the last cards to go in the set.
Well, I'm glad it made it in, because I love Magic cards, whether they're silver-bordered or black-bordered, that just have words on them that have never been on Magic cards before, that just make you
Try to figure out what it means.
Yeah, I mean, going back to even really old cards like Scheherazade, that's a really old card, but, like, that just did something that really, to me, demonstrated the openness of the rule set that Richard Garfield had created, because there were just some really out there things that could be done, things like even the whole morph mechanic. I guess I'm getting a little sidetracked, but I do like talking about Magic.
Yeah, one of the things that's interesting is Scheherazade is what we call a subgame. And we decided a while ago to ban subgames from Black Border. Why? You know why we banned it from Black Border?
Time?
Tournaments, yeah. It caused a tournament problem.
Yeah.
Silver Border picked it up. Silver Border, some of what I do is testing the future, and some of what I do is remembering the past. So subgames are something that I've done a subgame in every unset, although the first one was a little less subgame, Unhinged had Enter the Dungeon where you played a subgame under the table, and Unstable has the Countdown is One where you play a subgame but you start at one life.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So what is your favorite Unstable card?
It's almost certainly Earl of Squirrel.
Let's talk about the alternative art for Earl of Squirrel. That's a good story.
Sure. So the art that's going to appear, that Matt Cavada did, that's going to appear on the promo version of the card, is actually something that my wife had commissioned for me for my 40th birthday, and has been hanging in my office at Wizards of the Coast for years. And when it came time to pick a promo card, and we wanted to do something special, we wanted to do something alternate art, and this was not my decision, but the team that was in charge of that asked if they could use that art as the alternate art of Earl of Squirrel. The original artwork is also amazing. It's Milivoj Saran painted that artwork, and it's just incredible. But the piece that ended up going on the promo version and subsequently on some of the Ultra Pro products that were made, that's actually something that was that was in my office for a couple of years before Unstable was ever finished.
So actually, let me tell you the my favorite present that Matt ever gave me.
What?
He gave me Mize as a birthday present, the original art to Mize.
Oh, cool.
Which is on the cover of Unhinged. The booster pack of Unhinged has Mize on it. It's the one with the giant pink rabbit holding its own foot.
Well, I know you weren't talking about the promo version of that.
That is true, because you are on the promo version.
I have that one, yes. I love original artwork.
So the promo version of Mize is dogs playing magic.
Yes, I always wanted in my game room, I always wanted a big velvet painting of dogs playing poker. But when I found out that this piece by Mark Zug existed, I knew that there was, you know, that was miles above dogs playing poker.
So here's the trivia question. Where did that art come from?
I actually know this because I looked it up when I came to Wizards of the Coast. It was originally commissioned for Unstable or Unglued 2.
Yep. Do you know what the card was called?
I do.
Okay, very good. What's the card called?
I don't know if we should talk about it.
Okay. Oh, that's a fine point. Okay, so what's my favorite? I have a lot of favorites. I do like Earl Squirrel.
I mean, for me, I've always loved squirrels in Magic. And one of the first design and development teams I was ever on was the Commander decks, the very first ones. Mm-hmm. And I went to the creative team at the time, which I knew was not wild about squirrels. And I said, look, I want to do a card called Squirrel Cannon. And I wanted to shoot a squirrel at your opponent, do 1 point of damage, and then they get a squirrel.
Yeah.
And they told me at the time, this is acceptable for this release, we will do this. And then when the card ended up actually getting concepted, it ended up being Squirrel Catapult. Mm-hmm. Or, I'm sorry, Acorn Catapult.
Yeah.
And apparently there had been a pretty extensive debate about whether or not if you shot a squirrel at somebody and it did 1 point of damage to that person...
Oh, would the squirrel survive?
It would kill the squirrel. Which is, I guess,
it could be a hardy squirrel,
but it was very heartbreaking to me that there was, you know, we had finally gotten to the point where we could have another squirrel card in black bordered Magic, and it ended up not happening. So every time for years, every time I would go to some casual play group or meet some group of people who played Magic, there would always be someone who would come up to me and have to show me their squirrel deck. And I've always had a squirrel deck that was my favorite casual deck. And so I'm glad that we have so many awesome squirrel lords and squirrel related cards in Unstable.
Yeah, we are two of the biggest squirrel fans.
Yeah.
In fact, there was a period in time, by the way, where every single card that was a squirrel in Magic, I designed, and about half of them I did the art description for.
That's how we ended up with the original Might of Oaks,
yes,
right?
Yes, because I did all the card concepts in Urza's Legacy. And so I needed... One of my pet peeves about giant growth effects was they never had scale, so you didn't really, like, why would you know this is bigger than normal? So I said, I want to show scale. So I said, it's a forest, and you see some creature, you know, booming above the forest. And you had to know it's a small creature, so why not a squirrel? Because those aren't big. So
this is actually going back to artwork, though, real quick.
Yeah.
Matt Cavada actually has two pieces of art in the set.
Okay.
If you work at Wizards of the Coast and you're an artist, it's really hard to also be commissioned to do artwork. But he actually did another piece of art in the set.
Oh, which part? Which did he do?
It's the one with the where you open the booster with all the
monsters. It's called Sum the Pack, I think?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so it's been a couple of years since he's had a piece of art in Magic.
Oh, that is cool. Yeah, that card was originally called Undead Legions.
Yes.
Because it was trying to be a joke that maybe you want to open the pack with 15 creatures in it. Although there's Phage in that pack, by the way. If you open a Phage, you lose. So it's a good pack, but it comes with a poison pellet. You can occasionally lose by opening up a Legions pack.
That's funny.
I think I knew that he had done that. I forgot.
Then, like, when we give all the artwork for a set to our licensing partners, we often let them pick the artwork. And so when it comes to Ultra Pro, I mean, we obviously work with them if there's something that's not going to work out or if we don't approve of it. But out of the images, it was very exciting that they chose his version of Earl of Squirrel for some sleeves. And then they also, they really were taken with the artwork that Wayne England did, which right. we discussed in the last one. And
yeah.
Just a follow-up to that, it is the British Heart Foundation, so all the net proceeds from Ultra Pro sales of things with that artwork will go to benefit the charity that his family requested.
Yes, very awesome. And it looks really cool. In fact, I was on an episode of Game Nights, and we had the four Ultra Pro as the our playmats were the unstable playmats. I played on Earl Squirrel.
Yeah, that art is just so great.
Yes, it was very cool. And then I think it's Selfie Preservation, the sketch version of Very Cryptic Command, and Art Dealer. Art Dealer, by the way, that's one of my favorite pieces. Squirrel Dealer. It's one of my favorite pieces of art at the set.
Me too.
That's the one where he's opening up his trench coat, and there's like he's selling squirrels inside the trench coat.
Yep.
One of my goals with the set was I wanted to give you enough cards that you could build a squirrel deck out of the cards from Unstable. So it's a black green deck, and it has a lot of dice rolling. For some reason, the squirrels got connected to dice rolling. I'm not sure why.
So, can you talk a little bit about how the tokens were chosen for the set?
Sure, although you might have more information than I do on the squirrel. So, what we did was we wanted to... people had always talked about how there wasn't any foil tokens. And we saw this as an opportunity to do something cool. And so what we did is half the tokens are tokens that are in the set. So things that the cards in the set actually make. And those have a... Normally, tokens have an ad on the back. Those have an ad on the back. They're all for Unstable, so they're silly ads. And then the other ones... we did a poll? How do we figure out the other ones?
I thought we did a poll to see what the most popular tokens were
yes.
at the time. And then those were what we chose for the black border.
Right, and they're nine or ten. The cool thing about those is the back of the non, you know, inset ones that are from outside the set, on the back of it is full art. So it's the art that you see on the front in frame, full art on the back.
So a couple of things real quick. One, the ads are phenomenal. They're one of my favorite things about this set, actually. And it's another example of how even after the card set was done, the people that were working on every aspect of the set really stepped things up and thought about things differently. The brand manager that was working on Unstable was Adam Colby, who works on my team. And he came up with some... He's just a really creative guy. He came up with some really fun and funny things, including one of my favorite jokes mm-hmm. in the set, which is an ad card for Dungeons and Dragons that appears only... I think it only appears on the gold dragon token.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's not the gold dragon.
And the joke is, you know, did you know there's a whole role-playing game based on the card Sword of Dungeons and Dragons? Which is ridiculous, of course, because Dungeons and Dragons has been around for much longer than Magic. And,
yes.
But it's those kinds of touches that I just really
yeah,
enjoy.
That's fun.
The other thing I want to say is that for those of you who are confused about why we're struggling with the details of things like card names and number of tokens, by the time you hear this, the set will have been out for a while. We still haven't played with finished cards yet.
You have.
I haven't played with finished
game cards. Nights. I played with finished. I've one time played with finished cards.
So,
which was awesome, by the way.
We are still salivating at the chance to play with finished products on this project that we worked on for years.
The other thing, by the way, is that, although I've been recently doing a lot with it because obviously we've been previewing it, so I've been answering a lot of questions. But this product got finished quite a while ago. Like I said, we talked about it in our first carpooling podcast we did. Like, it got moved 3 times. So, in fact, it's funny. My daughter, who right now is applying to college, when I started this set, she was in 5th grade.
Wow.
In fact, the start of it was almost closer, not quite, but almost closer.
Yeah, turned it.
Almost closer to unhinged than it was to unstable.
Well, hopefully this one will be as big a hit as we think it's going to be. And
yeah, I hope by the time people hear this, it's been a smash hit. And you guys, you know this because it's the future for you guys, right?
Right.
Or it's the present for you. It's our future.
All right. We're pulling up to my house.
Wait, which way am I going?
It's that one. What's on that? The corner here. Yep.
Okay, so let's see how we're doing on time before I... Oh, wow. We did not been very long.
Carpool lane, man.
I know. So this is an extra short episode. Normally, when I do podcasts, they're at least 25 minutes, but this is short.
It's bonus content.
It is bonus content. Maybe we'll throw this in as a bonus content. But anyway, usually I say we get here, that means it's the end of my drive to work, but it's the end of my drive from work. Although actually it's not, because I still got to go home. But anyway, thank you for joining me, Mark.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So it was fun.
It was great.
So anyway, so guys, I guess instead of talking magic, it's time for me to eat dinner. I don't know. So anyway, thanks for joining us, guys, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.